Open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 546, that's 546. And beginning with the 11th verse, we'll read through the verse 15. The 15th verse being the text verse for this evening's message. Verses 11 through 15 of the 6th chapter of Nehemiah. And then let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. And I said, should such a man as I flee, who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so in sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that should have put me in fear. And let's read the text verse together. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the purpose of our being here tonight. It's to hear your word. We've been blessed by the report of our missionary, Mark Bachman, in Germany. We've been blessed, too, by the singing and the special music. We've been blessed by the fellowship and the wonderful feeling of the presence of God here in this auditorium. We just thank you for it all. But, of course, at the focal point is the message, the preaching. By word, we pray that you'd bless our hearing of it and help us to be doers of thy word. Bless our preacher, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The description of my message tonight is a biography of First Baptist Church of Hammond. The title of my message is the scripture we read a while ago, So the Wall Was Finished. I want to speak tonight on that subject, So the Wall Was Finished. One of my good buddies, Josh Hederman, is going to help me out tonight. Josh, I want you to come up here and sit on the steps right over here, if you would, please. And don't wiggle too much, and I'll be using you. Sit on the top step there, would you, Josh? You can get over and lean against that little wall if you want to, and take a nap anytime you'd like to in the service, just like your dad will be doing here on the front row in front of me. I hope you'll listen to me very carefully. I've chosen the message, though I've had it in my semi-prepared in my files for several weeks. I planned to preach it in the early hours or days of the summertime, and I consider summertime when school is out. And so this message is appropriate for this time of the year, because I want us to not slack up a bit. I want to speak tonight on the subject, So the Wall Was Finished. Our Heavenly Father, almost 41 years ago, I stood behind this same piece of wood. It's been redone, redecorated with this same piece of wood, and preached my first message as pastor of this church. Now, after these 41 years, nearly, this great work has risen like a mighty fortress, and I pray tonight you'll help me to say what I ought to say, so it will keep on being what it ought to be as we continue to build the wall. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure what kind of message this is going to be, whether it'll be loud and bombastic or quiet, and I do not know. I just know I'm going to tell you what's on my heart tonight, and I hope you listen to me very carefully. 40 years ago this month, this church was plunged into a battle by withdrawing from the American Baptist Convention. and also by requiring our people who held offices here to meet the qualifications of separation, doctrinal soundness, and faithfulness to the church. We had a battle, a real, old-fashioned battle. Brother Keith McKinney calls it a organizational reorganization, something like that. But it was an old-fashioned battle. By the way, you've never heard me in these 40 years say one unkind word from this pulpit about anybody who fought that battle against us. You've never heard me say one word. And some of the finest people I know are people that did not understand me, had never been privileged to understand our kind of Christianity, and they sincerely thought they were right, and I have nothing but admiration for the people who left our church when 406 people walked out to start another church. Before the administrative reorganization took place, we had a Wednesday night meeting where I gave the people the privilege of asking any questions that they wanted to ask. I gave the Bible study, and then about 9 o'clock, we just had question-answer time. And I fielded questions from the pulpit that people asked me, both friend and foe alike. One lady stood, and with an antagonistic type approach and delivery of her voice, she said, "If you stay here, what you going to do for the young people? What kind of program are you going to have for the young people?" And I said to her, "The same kind of program you're going to have for the old people. Prayer, soul winning, Bible study, separated living, the same kind. I don't believe there are two standards of Christianity, one for adults and one for young people. I don't believe in this generation gap. And I'd like to shut the gap up for the people who are talking about it." But I said that. She was sitting, of course this auditorium wasn't here then, there's the old auditorium that burned over here. She was sitting about right over here in the building, and when I told her that, she tried, I don't know what she's going to say. She tried to say something. She's going to say several things at one time. And all that came out was, "Oh, Agabash." I do not know what Agabash means. I do not think she was talking in tongues. So she said, "Oh, Agabash." And she took a little girl beside her, a young girl, and she, her daughter, and pulled her out to that aisle and walked back screaming as she walked back dissatisfied. It's now been 40 years. One of those teenagers, this man right here. One of those teenagers is your wife sitting right here. One of those teenagers was this dear lady sitting in the middle over here. One of those teenagers was Dan Johnson. Is Dan here tonight? Now, one of those teenagers was Dan Johnson, missionary for years to Brazil. One of those teenagers was Paul Gail Marhowski back here a while ago, I think. One of those teenagers was Gail Marhowski. And that's where it all started. Now, let me go back to the message and give you this. Zerubbabel had returned from the land of Babylon a long while ago. He had built an altar, and he had commenced the building of the temple. The discouraged Jews ceased their building of the temple, and for many years the temple rose unfinished, just a few feet above the ground. It was overgrown with weeds, a picture of desolation. God raised up two preachers to encourage the people to recommence the building of the temple. One was an older preacher named Haggai. One was a younger preacher named Zechariah. For 22 years, Dr. John Rice and I traveled around this country, and I was a young man back in those days. They used to call him Haggai. They called me Zechariah. Now they call me Haggai. But we did likewise. But these two prophets of God, preachers if you please, were raised up to inspire the people to finish the sacred building. Now the building is finished. the broken walls must be rebuilt around the city of Jerusalem. And in 7 weeks, the task was done under leadership of one of my favorite men in all the Bible, Nehemiah. You talk about a man's man, Nehemiah. You talk about a man of courage, a man of masculinity, Nehemiah. We too must be in the wall building business because of young boys just like this boy sitting over here, my friend Josh, tonight. We too must build a wall of protection around our young people and a wall of our fundamental position and standards and decency in the old-time religion to protect them from the evil one. That's the purpose. That's what I've done now for these many years. I've tried to lead you to build a wall around young men or boys like Josh over here. Now I want you to notice how this wall was built. The recipe is given in 6 amazing statements. I know of no other book in the Bible that has more startling statements than the book of Nehemiah. And tonight I'm going to tell you how this wall was built around 6 startling statements from the book of Nehemiah. The first one is, we'll not turn to it, but the first one, chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. When I came here 41 years ago nearly, they said to me, my enemies said to me, we pay you to go soul winning. I said, in the first place, you don't pay me, God pays me. And we don't go soul winning because you tell me to go soul winning. We all are supposed to go soul winning because God tells us we're all supposed to go soul winning. The people had a mind to work. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if the wall is continued to be built at First Baptist Church around young men like this, it's not going to be just Brother Hiles that builds that wall. It's not going to be just the men on this platform that builds that wall. Every Sunday school teacher, every departmental superintendent, every Christian school teacher, everybody who has a children's choir, everybody that has a job in this church, we must gather together, as was the case in Nehemiah, and see that the wall is finished. It said the people, thank you, Josh, it said the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Every man did his part. It was built with a rank and file, by the quiet, steady, and plodding work of all the people, by men whose names are not listed in the record, by monotonous and dull routine duties of every man, and so it is tonight. I call you tonight in the summer of 2000 A.D. to man your post during the summertime. I call you, as it said, the people had a mind to work. The bus workers had a mind to work in 2000 A.D. And the Sunday school teachers had a mind to work in the summertime. And the Christian school teachers had a mind to work. We're not building a bunch of school teachers here that think that their job is teaching school. Your job is as much soul winning in this church and doing the work of God in this church. And you school teachers, get off your blessed assurance and get out yonder and do the work with the rest of us. I'm not going to build a church here of college professors who are training people to do what they don't do themselves. The people have a mind to work. And so tonight, I call you and rally you to say, in this summertime, let's keep on building the wall around that child and children like him. The people had a mind to work. The second statement that helps to summarize the building of this wall is this. Every man, that's in chapter 4 and verse 18, every man had his sword girded by his side. Now there are 3 things that every man had. Don't miss this now. There are 3 things that every man had. As every man had a mind to work, there are 3 things every man had. Number 1 was a trowel to lay the stone on the wall around the city. A wall of protection. Not only are we trying to build a wall to keep the devil from getting this boy, we're trying to build a wall to keep this boy from getting out where the devil is, protecting him. Hammond Times sent a reporter here several years ago. He tripped over his hair as he walked in, but they sent a reporter in several years ago. And the reporter put in the Hammond Times about our graduation of our high school. He said those young people they've been so protected, they're not going to know how to face the world when they get out in the world. I've got news for that long-haired hippie. We don't intend for this boy to go out in the world at all. We intend this boy to give his life to God and serve God and love God. And so it is, each man had a trowel
and a sword. Look at me now. No note taking while I'm preaching. No taking notes. Everybody look right this way. I'm preaching to you. Not lecturing in the classroom. I'm preaching. I want you to look right this way. Every man had a trowel. What does that mean? Every man worked. But by his side, every man had a sword. Now, what does that mean? That means that in case somebody came to try to attack this boy, we're gonna knock his block off. Or chop his head off, one or the other. And so every man had a trowel in his hand, a sword by his side, and by Nehemiah, there was someone to sound the trumpet. Now get this. A trowel, a sword, and a trumpet. Building, fighting, and someone to alarm you or the people when the enemy was coming. A trowel for building, a sword ready for conflict, and a trumpet for warning. Now there's some churches across America tonight who are just trying to build, but they have no sword. They're not willing to fight. Not willing to defend. They're not willing to fight for the old King James Bible. We lose this Bible, we lose that boy. Because that boy's ways will be directed by this Bible. And his life should be cleaned by this Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to this Bible. And so it is. A trowel for building. Some churches just building with no sword. On the other hand, there's some churches so busy fighting they don't have a trowel. They have the sword, they're looking for a fight, but don't have a trowel. They don't need to fight if we're not trying to build a wall. Listen to me, no talking please. Listen to me, right this way. We're trying to save that boy there. If we save that boy, we've got to build a wall around protection around him. But we also must fight if somebody tries to keep us from building a wall of protection around that boy. But that isn't all. Somebody's got to sound the warning when the battle and the enemy is coming, and you looking at that fellow right now. You looking at a fellow for 41 years almost has walked guard around this church. When I've seen something at the college that looked like it's not what it ought to be, I've blown the trumpet. When I've seen the enemy coming to destroy our Hammond Baptist schools, I've blown the trumpet. When I've seen something coming to our young people, I've blown the trumpet. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if it's now or 40 years from now, when I'm in heaven, somebody else stands behind this pulpit or walks across this platform, you get somebody here that'll sound the trumpet when the enemy is going to come. I said some are trying to build with no sword. Some are fighting with no trowel, not building. On the other hand, some are building and they have the trowel and the sword, but there's no trumpet. And this is the way this church has been built. Look, we have not promiscuously attacked anybody. We're trying to defend that boy. We're trying to give up that boy a wall around that boy. We're trying to save the devil. You're not going to get him. And all the devil's angels, you're not going to... Ushers, keep those folks from coming in back there. Nobody comes around while I'm preaching. And we're trying to save that boy. I'm not a cantankerous old preacher. I don't like to fight. But best God, I'll hear what I will do. I'll fight to the death to save that boy and boys like him. Let's keep on building a wall around these young people here at First Baptist Church in Heaven. I haven't used this illustration in years. I hadn't thought about it. It's not part of my sermon tonight. I hadn't thought about it. Years ago, I used to go out to Canoga Park, California to preach. 22 consecutive years I went there and preached. I was taking a walk one morning early, and I walked by a corner house. Just inside that corner house was a little Chihuahua dog inside the fence in the backyard. And just outside that fence was a big bulldog. I mean, looked like the chairman of the Board of Deacons. And he was outside the fence. Little Chihuahua dog was inside the fence. Chihuahua dog about the size of an overgrown rat. And the big bulldog had his napkin already around his neck, holding his knife and fork ready for supper, ready for breakfast. That little Chihuahua dog was in there going, woof! And he was pacing up down just inside the fence. He wanted to get out. Woof, woof. Well, I studied Chihuahuanese while I was in college. And here's what he was saying. Woof, woof. Let me out. I want to be free. I want to be free. Let me out. I'm tired of being a slave. I want to be free. Let me out. Let me out. And the bulldog was saying, let him out, let him out, let him out, let him out, let him out. Now, let me ask a question. Where was that little Chihuahua dog's freedom? Inside that wall or fence or outside that fence? Why, he'd have had him for hors d'oeuvres immediately. No entree, of course, but he'd have had him for hors d'oeuvres. And I'm a little sick and tired of people saying, well, you got your people there. You got it enslaved. Bless God, yes, enslaved to that book, enslaved to that God, enslaved to our Savior. But let me tell you the crowd that's the slave tonight. The crowd at Indiana University and Purdue University and the state universities on dope and liquor and illicit sex. That's the crowd that's enslaved tonight. We're not building a wall to keep that fellow from being free. We're trying to build a wall so he can be free. I'll say that Chihuahua's freedom was inside that fence and not outside that fence. If a man had his sword girded by his sign. Statement number 3. Chapter 4, verse 9. They prayed to God and set a watch. Here is a wall being built, and the first startling statement, every man had an iron to work. And the second startling statement, every man had his sword girded by his side. And the third startling statement, they prayed to God and set a watch. Set a watch to what? To keep evil out. Set a watch to what? Keep that boy inside a place of safety. Over 40 years I've done that. Ladies and gentlemen, I call on you tonight to join hands with me as your pastor and the youth program and the Sunday school teachers and the principals and the school teachers and the parents and the coaches and the choir directors and the bus workers. I call on you tonight to join hands with me and look at old Smutty Face square in the eyeball and say, buddy, if you get one of our kids, you're in the fight of your life. I've given my life, this boy. Over 9 million miles I've flown on jet planes. I stand up here an old man tonight. For all these years, 40 years, I went every Monday morning except pastor school and vacation Bible school, 50 Monday mornings a year, traveling this country. I don't like airplanes. I don't like hotel rooms. I don't like to travel. I like to be at home. I'm a homebody. One day I asked Dr. John Rice. I said, Dr. Rice, why is it that God calls somebody like me to travel around the country when I love to be at home so much? And Dr. Rice, with a tear in his eye, said, Brother Hiles, he said, God couldn't use anybody away from home that didn't want to be home. And I travel. Why? For this boy right here and boys like him. Why? To build a wall in America. So wherever he moves, if he has to move somewhere. And by the way, you'll have a tough time going anywhere in this country without finding somebody who's been influenced by this ministry here. And thank God there are walls being built all over America. And you preacher boys, you get out of here and you build your church somewhere. And don't you bow your knee to Baal. And don't you bow your knee to the standards and convictions. You build that wall that we built around here for you. That's what that boy is all about right here. When he was this age, we were building a wall to protect him. Thank you, son. You can be seated. I said, startling statement number 3. They prayed to God and set a watch. Startling statement number 4. I love Nehemiah. I love this guy. When I get to heaven, I'm going to spend a long time with Nehemiah. He said, they asked him to come down from the wall. And they tried to get him to come down. And the enemy said, come on down and let's get together in this. No independent fundamental Baptist ought to get together with a bunch of liberals at all. I don't care what it's for. And here's a startling statement. Chapter 6 and verse 3. I am doing a great work, oh, I love this, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease and I come down unto you? I am doing a great work. Opposition arose. 4 times Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem lured him down off the wall. But this great old prophet of God, this great old man of God, this stalwart, this courageous man, this barrel-chested, broad-shouldered, real man of a man who had a beard, whiskers on his face, and had grit in his crowd, and strength, and courage, and conviction. He said, I'm not coming down. I'm dealing with all. I've got too much to do to come down. And that's what you liberals down there see at the foot of the wall. Listen carefully. Listen carefully tonight. Don't expect me to change in my old age. I may die, but I won't run. I may suffer, but I won't run. They may spread rumors, but I won't run. They may slander and scandalize me in this church, but I won't run. They may threaten me, but I won't run. You say, preacher, you're 673 years old. You fought long enough. You've been in the battle long enough. Why don't you sit down and retire the rest of your life? I'll tell you why I'm standing here at 73. I want a wall around that boy. That's why. They're trying to get me to join the Mormon journey. And Jerry Falwell began it. He said, Brother Jack, we need you. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. God didn't call me to politics. God called me to build a wall around that boy right there. The so-called gay rights or queer rights crowd wanted me to head up the national battle against the queers. And ladies and gentlemen, I haven't got any respect for that crowd at all. And it's a sin and abomination in the sight of God Almighty. But I'm not coming down off the wall to get in that kind of a battle. They call me. The Moonies call me. They're having a common suffrage rally in Washington, D.C. A bunch of my independent Baptist preachers, they're preaching for them. They said, we'd like you to come. We're all suffering the same religious persecution. We want you to come and be a keynote speaker for this big rally we're having in Washington, D.C., the Common Suffrage Rally. I said, I'll suffer alone, thank you. I'm too busy building a wall for that kid to come down off the wall. Nehemiah said, I'm not coming down. The wall's going to get built, and you won't lure me down. I won't compromise. I won't yield. I won't turn back. I will not bow my knee to Baal. I'm building a wall, and I'm not going to come down from the wall. Hear me carefully. Moral majority is not in existence and now. It's suspended. First Baptist Church of Hammond marches on. The greatest work on the face of the earth. The greatest work on the face of the earth. For churches like this, every man behind the work, trowel in his hand, sword by his side, trumpeter watching out for the enemy. The greatest work is to keep that wall protected. The devil wants you, son. The devil wants to wreck your life and ruin you. But God wants you to become like that boy right there. And that boy right there grew up in our church. And that's what Brother Hiles wants you to become. And the reason Brother Hiles has fought all these years, has any of us all over this country and has traveled all these years, is so guys like you will have a wall. Don't you let the devil have your life. The next startling statement. I said, number one, the people had a mind to work. Number two, every man had his sword girded by his side. Number three, they prayed to God instead of watch. Number four, this great hero of mine, Nehemiah, said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease and come down to you? Number five, I love this one. Shemaiah advised Nehemiah to go hide in the temple. His life was endangered. And he said, look, man, you better go hide. Let these folks finish the work. You better go hide in the temple. I like what he said. Statement number five. He said, should such a man as I flee? Huh? Should such a man as I flee? Rouse then, soldiers. Rally round the banner. Ready, steady, Pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne. Should such a man as I've got a battle to fight. I've got a wall to build. I'm not running from anybody, he said. Should such a man as I flee?
40 years ago, this month, we were American Baptists. The headquarters in Indianapolis sent the big boy up here to our meeting that night. I'm talking about the state executive secretary, the guy that wants more churches than anybody to fight the battle. He had his little sidekick with him, Tonto, his assistant. I met them as they walked in the door. And I said, let me just make it one thing clear. It's none of your business what goes on in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. It's none of your business. It's no denomination business what goes on in the local church in anybody's denomination. Got a bunch of big shots trying to tell the churches what to do. The church tells himself what to do as he directs. All right. I called him his first name. I won't call his first name tonight. I'll call him Joe. He was a big boy. I said, Joe, what happens here is none of your business. 40 years ago this month, I said, you're welcome to come to our Bible study tonight. And you too, Tonto, you're welcome to come. But you're not welcome to speak. And you're not going to as much as stand up tonight to speak. And if you do stand up to speak, I said, I'm having two men to take you by the arms and two men to take you by the legs. And to get out here on the sidewalk and go one, two, three, and throw you on your bottom out there on Sibley Street. And I got four of the men, Tonto. You'll go right beside him. I said, if you're about to stand up in the business meeting. We stayed there at 11:30 that night, Bible study. We sang. They sat over here on the side. They didn't stand up for prayer. When we stood to sing, they didn't stand up to sing. And this executive secretary said, we'll run you out of town. And I quoted the words of my hero, shall such a man as I flee? You don't understand. I've been commissioned to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't understand. It was the God of glory that called me behind this pulpit here. So here we stand tonight, after all these years. Denominational attack from the press, censorship from the local ministerial association, for which I send him a note of thanks. Arson has burned half of our buildings, lawsuits. You say, preacher, why in the world have you put up all this? This is why I put up with all of it. That's what it's all about. And you're standing here tonight because a wall was built. And that wall saw through it that you had an education in Hammond Baptist Grade School, Junior High School, Hiles Henderson College, a wall of protection. That's why you had that lovely wife back there tonight. And son, this is what I want for you right here. He built a wall for you. And God have mercy if you get outside that wall. Give him a hand, would you please? Thank you. Statement number one. The people had a mind to work. Statement number two. Every man had a sword girded by his side while he used the trowel. Statement number three. They prayed to God and set a watch. Statement number four, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? And I come down to you. Statement number five, should such a man as I flee? Statement number six, are you listening? Statement number six, so the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. And this war doesn't have to go bad.
If this boy wants to go to school, he can go have born-again teachers who believe the old King James Bible teaching. This boy wants to go to college, he has to trot off to some heathen university where a bunch of whores and prostitutes and queers go to class, where a bunch of liberals break down the very faith that the boy was taught here. You ought to go to school where they teach the same thing they teach in your church house. And I'm not going to change either. Oh. I've been preaching for years here not to go to these heathen secular universities, and I aim to keep on preaching it. If you don't like it, you have to put up with it. The wall was finished. And this boy doesn't have to go bad. And I said, this son, you just, how old is he? 7 years old. I used to be 7. I don't remember it, but they say I was. If I had my life to live over again, you know what I'd do? I'd stay 7 the rest of my life. But son, you don't have to go bad. Because an old man and a bunch of people here for 41 years have tried to build a wall for you. A wall of protection. And that goes to every single teenager in this room tonight. Every single boy or girl in this room tonight. You don't have to go bad. Because the wall's finished. If I were to fall over tonight, this is my last sermon. And I'm aware that my last sermon can't be too far away. But if I were to fall over tonight, let me say this finally. I built you a wall. We built a wall together here. A wall of protection. And we've said to the devil, we're not going to come down. We've said, shall such people as us flee? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, this church has already come. It's His grace that led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home, because we've built a wall. No church in America has built a wall like this church has built. None. None. And in just a few days, we're going to have the wall even finished up, so the educated folk can come in, and they don't have to go to heathen state schools either. And we got a place where the deaf can come inside the wall, and they won't have to go to some pagan heathen school either, bless God. I ask again, who were these teenagers that sat in the services that night 40 years ago? Who were they? An 18-year-old boy was one. I say it was worth it. I say it was worth it. Thank you. His dear wife, the lady over here, and the lady back here. How many of you were children or teenagers, not yet 20, 19 or under, and you were in the church when Brother Hiles was here, came? Would you stand, please? Would you stand, please? You were here in the church when Brother Hiles came 40 years ago, and you were a teenager or a child at the time. This is what it's all about. Some of these folks have retired. Some of these folks are getting close to retirement age. Some of these folks were 18 then, I was 32, and they're older than I am now. But this is what it's all about. This is it, folks. This is it. Thank you very much. So, ma'am, you of the Agabash statement. You who took your little girl, who, by the way, went to the devil. You who took your little girl and walked out, criticized me and the church. What you going to do to the young people? Ma'am, I rest my case. I rest my case. So the wall has been built. And if this is my last sermon or whenever it comes, we together had a mind to work. Every one of us had a mind to work. We held a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other, a trumpet by our side. When they said, come down and get off on some little sideline ministry, we said, no, we're building a wall. They tried to chase us. We said, we're not going to flee. Should such a man as I flee? And the wall has been built. I say tonight, as your preacher, I said this morning, I'm not a perfectly well man. And I feel a little bit worse right now than I have for a while, though I'm not about to fold my tent. But as long as I've got breath to breathe and stand behind this pulpit, I promise you, I'll give it all I've got. And I don't have as much to give as I can't stay till midnight every night now and counsel with 75, 80 people like I used to. In fact, I can't even counsel with everybody that wants to see me right now. And some of you folks have to understand that there are thousands of people trying to get to my office. But that's whatever I've got, whatever strength I've got, and whatever years I've got left. I give it to you to build a wall for the kids. Join me this summer. Don't strike up. Let's give it our best. Every man had a mind to work. Every man had a sword by his side. And they set a watch and prayed. And they did not come down from the wall. And they said, such a man as I flee. And the wall was finished. Let's each of us give ourselves this summer, keeping that wall in good repair, in good shape. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, I think tonight of that army of people who were teenagers 40 years ago. I think tonight of those who've grown up in the walls of this old church. Pastors all over the country, missionaries around the world. Sunday school teachers in our classes here. Deacons on our deacon board. Teachers in our schools that were our kids. For whom we built the wall. And for whom we kept on building. And now may we realize that there are other lads like Josh here who still need protection.